Are we set up in the class?
Yeah, we can start, inshallah.
Oh, okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah alladhi ja'ala dhikrahu tama'ninatan lil qulub wa jila'an laha 'adarain ad-dunub wa mataratan li waswas al-khannas al-makdub wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin ad-da'i ila kulli fi'lin mahbub wa amrin matlub وعلى آله وأصحابه المقتفين سبيله على خير أسلوب أما بعد فيقول رب تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المنزل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. الله سبحانه وتعالى says that we will surely test you with something of fear, of hunger, and of loss of wealth and lives and fruits, but give good tidings to the patient, the one who, when disaster strikes, they say, indeed we belong to Allah, and indeed to him we will return. Those are the ones upon whom are blessings from their Lord and mercy, and it is those who are rightly guided. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Say, O Muhammad, if your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your wives, your relatives, the wealth which you have obtained and the commerce wherein you fear the decline, and dwellings with which you are pleased are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger, and striving in His path, then wait until Allah executes His command. And Allah does not guide the defiantly disobedient people. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to our 14th session. This is our 14th session in this series in which we are studying the teachings of Imam Ghazali on sincerity, intention, and verbal habits. And in our last session, as a corollary, as a spin-off to our discussion on attitudes to truth in the modern world and the spread of postmodern philosophy, we pondered the historic tragedies that followed the reformations of the two Abrahamic faiths in Europe that precedes the arrival of Islam in this continent. And we saw how a reformation of Christianity was followed by several decades of war and killing, resulting in the loss of life in numbers reaching nearly half the population of Central Europe. And similarly, for the Reformation of Judaism, Europe, the Berlin Haskalah, was followed by a tremendous suffering for the Jewish diaspora in Europe. And in this regard, we saw this as a, this is how I see it, and I think this is how we should look at it, is that this is the big news of it. This aspect of it cannot be ignored and then use those precedents as sources of guidance for the way we should treat Islam. And in this regard, I received two questions. So I'm going to deal with those first. The first question was, were there no good outcomes of these reformations? Were there nothing good about them? And the second question was, how do we know that this hadith, the hadith I read about the warnings, the prophecies, that they refer to Judaism and Christianity? So I will deal with both of these. The first is that the answer to the first question is that there were, of course, some benefits, some good things that happened after the Reformation, like literacy increased because one is that the Bible was translated into the vernacular, and then the other was that there was the proliferation of printing. The Gutenberg press coincided with the same efforts that were made by Martin Luther. The books were published. So in that sense, literacy increased. And also, and of course, the church stopped selling indulgences. And the third was that Henry VIII got his annulment from Catherine of Aragon. But that's, I think, as much as you can say. There were some opening towards other faiths as well. But if you look at the outcome as a whole, we find that Christianity is split into thousands of denominations. You know, Islam, in Islam we have two, Shia and Sunni. The Prophet ﷺ predicted we'll be reached to 73. But we have two, we have four madhabs, schools of thought. But in Christianity today, there are 45,000 denominations. And that's a result of this of the Reformation, the proliferation of denominations. So you can imagine what would happen to Islam if such a thing should happen. You know, they used to say that if in that period that when 10 people meet in a room, they would come out with 11 denominations. That's how terrible it was about deciding what your faith is in that storm of post-Reformation war and intrigue. Number six was that what we see, if you look at history, the graph shows you that there's a stark decline in the practice of the teachings and belief in Christianity. If you take any index, take the church attendance index, the graph slopes from Reformation and then there's stark dives deep due to things like the secularization, the Enlightenment and modernization, etc. But the point is that the Reformation did not produce wonderful outcomes for Christianity itself. And we can see the outcomes, we can see those effects happening even in our day. If you look at the graph, even for the 20th century, you will find, you will see it's sloping when it comes to attachment to the faith. So the easier they made the faith is the easier they made it for people to leave. This is the conclusion of researchers who have looked into this. And I think it is for this reason that Muslims need to take lesson, but the lesson is how to avoid it at all costs, how to avoid something like that happening among our followers of Islam. Muslims are functioning fully. They're able to function perfectly well in the modern world. We do not need to have a Reformation for us to function, because we can find Muslims in every field of modern life, and they're functioning perfectly fine. So we do not need it. We have enough plasticity or flexibility in the system to adapt to life in the modern world without the trauma of a Reformation. That's the conclusion. And the bottom line is that in regard to what my approach last week was that what's the big news here? What's the significant news about the Reformation? Is it Henry's divorce or the death of 8 million people? What would you do? You know, you have these two. Yes, okay, he got his divorce because he appointed his own archbishop to do it, Cranmer, offered the annulment. He issued the annulment instead of the Pope. But do we use that? Or do we say, look, here, we have 8 million people who died? To put it into perspective, now, take the example of a family feud over inheritance. And if there's this family that has a feud and half the family is killed in the feud, and then later after that, you know, they manage to divide the inheritance in some way, what do you think would draw the attention of people? Would they draw the attention to what, the inheritance settlements afterwards? Or the fact that the family was, half of the family were killed. What's the big news? And that's the big news here. The big news is that the consequence of it. And similarly, you know, for what happened in Judaism, out of that remove, out of that shift away from following the guidance of the rabbis, who had very strict rules about the way they interpret, and that going back to Palestine and setting up a state there was not allowed, no, in the theology. But because they had this new approach to theology that we had to do, we had auto independence, we had to get it boosted the idea of Zionism, and we know what troubles this has brought today. So there are lots of warnings that are attached to reformations of these two Abrahamic faiths in Europe that precedes us. And the second question, of course, links into this, is that how do we know? How do we know that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was speaking, where we highlighted the fact that the prophecies were that we should be careful, because if we will follow them inch by inch and foot by foot, even if they go into a lizard's hole. لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سُنَنَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سُنَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ شِبْرًا بِشِبْرٍ وَزِرَاعًا بِزِرَاعٍ حَتَّى لَوْ دَخَلُوا فِي جُحْرِ ضَبٍّ. Even if they, that you will follow them inch by inch and foot by foot, even if they go into lizard's holes. So now the answer to that question is in fact in the hadith itself. Last week I might not have read the entire hadith, which ended with a question and answer, that the last part of the hadith has the answer. And the answer is that the Sahaba asked the questions themselves. They asked this question. They said to Rasulullah, when he said, "Alladina min qablikum," "Alladina min qablikum," that those who are before you, they asked him, they said, "Qulna," they said, "Qulna ya Rasulullah, al-Yahuda wa al-Nasara," are you speaking about the Christians and the Jews and the Christians? And his response was in a question. He said, "Faman." So who else? Who else would I be talking about? In other words, who else? Man, faman. So it is very clear that it is this. It is the same history. And we are followers of the line of prophets that was sent by the same God, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same Allah who sent Jesus alayhi salam is the same Allah who sent Moses alayhi salam. And it was the same Allah who sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we are warned about a trap in our path in such clear terms, it is necessary that we keep a vigilant eye on history and to look out for what for these fittings in our path. And as I said, we can clearly see signs in of this sort of activity among Muslims, and also we see, like, there are lots of red flags flying, and of course high among the postmodernists who are trying to deconstruct Islam, among the interfaith practitioners trying to delegitimize and manipulate Muslims to do it. I'm not saying that all interfaith activity is such, but they are very well organized, well funded organizations of interfaith organizations that which are actually stealth evangelism that is disguised as interfaith. Stealth evangelism disguised as interfaith to affect Muslims to create that reformation, which is available. If you just have to take a deeper look and you will see it. And of course, we have also the, you see these red flags in among the progressive Islam movement, the so-called progressive Islam, which is, of course, dominated by voices of people whose only qualification, their only qualification is that we were once extremists. You know, the degree of EET, ex-extremists, has become the new supreme qualification for speaking about Muslim affairs. It's above alim, it's above mufti. In fact, alim and mufti is a disqualification nowadays. If you're an alim, you're immediately disqualified from speaking about Muslim affairs nowadays. Where the extremists, you'll find that the ex-extremist is held in high esteem, the higher esteem than the scholar, the person who has spent decades studying Islam. That person's word is no longer valid, and this is also there. We also have prophecy in this regard. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna amam ad-dajjal sinina khadda'a." That before the emergence of Dajjal, there will be years that are characterized by deception, by strange deception. And this deception is khada'a. Khada'a means to be deceptive, to be fool people, to turn things upside down. And he explained, he said how the matters will be turned upside down. He said, yukaddibu fihi al-sadiq, that the person, the truthful person, will be treated as a liar. He will be belied. وَيُصَدِّقُ فِيهَا الْكَاذِبُ, and the liars will be believed. وَيَخُونُ فِيهَا الْأَمِينُ, and then the trustworthy one will be treated with treachery. وَيُؤْتَمَنُ فِيهَا الْخَائِنُ, and the treacherous one will be trusted. وَيَتَكَلَّمُ فِيهَا الْأَرْوَيْبِضَةُ, and then the رُوَيْبِضَةُ will speak in on public matters. The رُوَيْبِضَةُ يَتَكَلَّمُ فِيهَا فِي أَمْرِ النَّاسِ, يعني في أمر الأعمى. And رُوَيْبِضَة is the ignorant and the foolish people will speak. That those people will come. And this is this hadith, this sort of message is repeated in many different reports. There's a hadith in Bukhari where Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that when he was asked about the end times, you know, when the end will come, when it's the last hour, when, and he says, قالوا, he said, فَإِذَا دُعِيَتِ الْعَمَانَةُ فَانْتَظُرِ السَّاعَةَ, that if trustworthiness is lost, there's no longer trustworthiness, the values have turned upside down. And they ask, how so? How is it? كيف إضاعتها? And his response, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was that, فَإِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَى غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ, فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةَ, that if that the time when you see that serious matters, that the matter of the leadership, the place where guidance is supposed to have come from scholars and from people who know what to talk about, when they're replaced by مِنْ غَيْرِ أَهْلِهَا, and people who are clearly incapable are leading, you know, the insane people are leading. So what you find, he said, if you find that, then expect the final hour to be soon. People taking the ignorant as leaders and guides. Now, so in a nutshell, the postmodernist agenda to reform Islam is an agenda of deconstruction. It is an agenda of demolition of distinctions between our values, between right and wrong. You know, this is something that they have done effectively in the secular world, in the modern world, where teenagers in schools today, when surveyed, they say, when asked about right and wrong, that they say that in one study, 64% it was, if I remember correctly, that 64% of teenagers in high school said that right and wrong, what is right and what is wrong, is a matter of personal opinion. This was a survey in Canada, when at the height of postmodern philosophy, the spread of it, that the distinctions between right and wrong, that the meaning of right and wrong is a matter of personal opinion. So the minds of the next generation is being pumped full of this postmodernist mumbo jumbo, and we have a challenge here. We have something very dangerous that can undermine not only our faith but our understanding of what is right and wrong. So people need to be very careful. Not only understand. I'm saying not only the details of our faith but general understanding of values of ethics. So there is a problem. This is a massive topic that will require much more time to do justice to it. But given that it's only related to our topic tangentially, I will leave it for now. Maybe we can come back to it later, inshallah, in the course, in the other discussions. But now to come back to our topic, last week we also talked about the need for a healthy balance between fear and hope, which, as Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayhi, says that these are the two wings with which the believer ascends to worthy stations. In his words, فَإِنَّ الرَّجَاءَ وَالْخَوْفَ جَنَاحَانِ جَنَاحَانِ بِهِمَا يَطِيرُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ إِلَىٰ كُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَحْمُودٍ, that the hope and fear are the two wings with which the close ones, المقربون, the close ones, the ones who Allah wants to bring close to him, they ascend to all blessed stations with these wings, these two wings of الرجاء والخوف, hope and fear. Now hope. And so obedience to Allah is not akin to obedience of a traffic warden, as I said, or to a policeman, where there's no connection, there's no relationship of love. With Allah, when we obey, there's a need for relationship, there's a need for love, there's a need for connection. And to Allah subhanahu, to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in fact the highest station, the loftiest of goals in our journey back to Allah. We are on our journey of return back to where we belong. Repeat that. We are on our journey of return back to where we belong. That is how we see life in this world. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So that connection is that, yes, you might never see that you obey the police, the traffic warden, you might never see him again. We will definitely meet, we will definitely be returned. And that returning is to return in such a way that Allah is pleased with us. So we belong to him and we will return to him. That, so because of that, we need to have a relationship. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا. He said, let's say to my servants who have transgressed, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Oh, my servants who have transgressed against themselves by sinning, then do not despair in the mercy of Allah. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. This is where hope comes in. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الدُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Oh, my servants who have transgressed against themselves by sinning, do not despair by the mercy. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, it is He who is most forgiving, most merciful. That is the verse. That is the verse that should clear any doubt we have in our minds that I've committed lots of sins. I'm a terrible person. I've spent so many years off the track. Now, will Allah accept me? Allah is opening the door. And he's saying, he said, لَوْ بَلَغَتْ دُنُوبُكَ عَنَانَ السَّمَاءِ. That even if your sins have reached the clouds, the skies, even if your sins are as large as this world, I will forgive it all if you'd come to me with hope, come to me with sincerity. Now, love, strong hope, is the hope that is rooted in this love for Allah. We need our hope for reward in our sincerity to be rooted in that love, the love of Allah. And so today we are going to continue reading from the chapter of Kitab al-Mahabbati wa-Shawqi wa-Unsi wa-Ridha, the book of love, longing, intimacy, and contentment. And there are five subtopics in this discussion that I want you to keep in mind in the form of five questions. The five questions that we need to keep in mind was, what is love? What do we instinctively love? How do we fall in love? What are the reasons for love? And on a scale of priority, who is more deserving of our love? Because it's a lengthy discussion and we might not get through all of it. Obviously, what's the time now? Yeah. But if you keep these questions in mind, we are going to answer these questions one by one. Because these questions, in addition to being important for our topic, they will also help you to deal with modern confusions surrounding the concept of love and attachment. In fact, people are very confused about these things nowadays. Many young people in our world today are more attached to inanimate objects than they are to human beings. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Young people today are more attached to their mobile phones than they are attached to other people in their life. In one study, students were forced to leave their mobile phones outside the examination hall were found to be suffering from separation anxiety because the teachers realized that students who were highly capable were underperforming and they had this strange anxiety developing because their phones were left outside the hall. So eventually they came up with the solution that they would be allowed to bring the mobile phones into the hall and put into a bag next to them, keep with close proximity, because the distance, and this is exactly, the distance created anxiety. This is exactly as it does when you're forced to keep a distance away from your beloved. you suffer from separation anxiety. The exactly the same thing was happening in this. And there are lots of examples like this that are signs of a modern problem, a problem of misplaced love and misplaced attachment, with, of course, unintended consequences for our world in general, and in particular for our understanding of these concepts, concept of love and what it really means. Even our vocabulary is also impoverished when it comes to this. In Arabic, the vocabulary deals with this beautifully because you have degrees of love with distinct labels that characterizes, you know where you are, and you can go through them. You know, the 10 stages of love. Imam Zubaydi, who did a commentary on this, he talks about the 10 stages. Inshallah, we will go through that while I speak, while we read the text. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بيان حقيقة المحبة وأسبابها وتحقيق معنى محبة العبد لله تعالى. Okay. So this is the exposition of the true meaning of love. What is love? And he says, اعلم أن المطلب من هذا الفصل المطلب من هذا الفصل لا ينكشف إلا بمعرفة حقيقة المحبة في نفسها ثم معرفة شروطها وأسبابها ثم النظر بعد ذلك في تحقيق معناها في حق الله تعالى. The purpose here is in this chapter is to understand that the meaning, that the full meaning of ma'rifa, la yankashif illa bima'rifat haqiqa, that you will not understand what is being said unless you know what love is in itself. فَأَوَّلَ مَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُحَقَّقْ أَنْ يُتَحَقَّقْ, the first thing that needs to, that you need to appreciate, or you need to recognize, أَنَّهُ لَا يَتَصَوَّرْ مَحَبَّةٌ إِلَّا بَعْدَ مَعْرِفَةٍ وَإِدْرَاكٍ, that you cannot imagine that there should be love in of something without knowing, without having knowledge of it, without having the knowledge and the perception of it, to be for it to be perceived. إِذْ لَا يُحِبُّ الْإِنسَانِ مَا لَا يَعْرِفِ, the person does not love that which he does not know. وَلِذَلِكَ يُتَصَوَّرْ أَنْ يَتَّصِفْ بِالْحُبِّ لَمْ يُتَصَوَّرْ أَنْ يَتَّصِفَ بِالْحُبِّ جَمَادٌ, and this is why it is not imagined that an inanimate object would have that capacity to love. بَلْ هِيَ خَاصِيَةُ الْحَيِّ الْمُدْرِكِ, that this is a speciality of living beings, of perceptive living beings. ثُمَّ الْمُدْرِكَاتِ فِي أَنفُسِهَا تَنْقَسِمُ إِلَى مَا يُوَافِقُ طَبْعَ الْمُدْرِكِ وَيُلَائِمُهُ وَيَلِدُّهُ وَإِلَى مَا يُنَافِيهِ وَيُنَافِرُهُ وَيُؤْلِمُهُ, that then the perceptibles, the things that we perceive, are divided into things that are pleasing and perceived to be comforting, that are perceived to be comforting and pleasing, وَإِلَى مَا يُنَافِي, and which opposes or repulses and pains the individual, وَإِلَى مَا لَا يُؤَثِّرْ فِيهِ بِإِلَامُ الْإِلْذَازِ, or you will find it's neutral, it neither causes pain nor it causes joy or pleasure. فكل ما في إدراكه لذة وراحة, that anything that pleases him and brings comfort, فهو محبوب عند المدرك, so that anything that brings that is pleasing and brings comfort is lovable, so you can love it, lovable to the perceiver. وما في إدراكه ألم, and anything that brings pain is disliked in the المدرك. وما يخلو عن الاستعقاب ألم ولذة فلا يوصف بكونه محبوب محبوبا أو ما, and the things that do not cause pain and harm are not called lovable. فإذا, he said, so it كل لذيذ محبوب عند المتذ به, everything that is pleasurable is beloved. وَمَعْنَى كَوْنِهِ مَحْبُوبٌ. And this is what the meaning of love, he's saying. The meaning of something is lovable. أَنَّ فِيهِ أَنَّ فِي فِي الطَّبْعِ مَيْلًا إِلَيْهِ. That there is a disposition of inclination towards something. The inclination, a disposition of inclination. مَيْلًا إِلَيْهِ. وَمَعْنَى كَوْنِهِ مَبْغُوذًا. And the meaning of something being disliked, or something being hated or detested, أَنَّ فِي الطَّبْعِ نَفْرَةٌ عَنْهُ. That there is some disinclination in it. فَالْحُبْ عِبَارَةٌ أَنْ مَيْلِ الطَّبْعِ إِلَى شَيْءٍ مُلِدٌ. So love is the inclination of, by disposition, to something that is pleasant. فَإِنْ تَأَكَّدَ ذَلِكَ الْمَيْلِ. If this inclination then becomes confirmed and waqawiya, and then it is strengthened, summiya ishq, then it becomes ishq. Now, in the explanation of this transition from it being an inclination, simply an inclination, to becoming attachment, there you have a division of 7 degrees. There's 7 degrees to reach from mail, which is inclination, to reaching ishq. And Imam Zubayri explains this. He says maratib al-hubb is 10, 10. Awwaluha al-alaqa. That the first, what happens in this hubb is the inclination, when you, it develops an attachment, some kind of connection, that there's an alaqa, a connection. Thumma al-irada. And then that connection leads to a willful pursuit in the direction of that connection, and that is the irada. So the number 2 is irada. And then the sababa is where it's a pursuit with hararatu shauq. It's starting to get warm, it's the temperature increases towards pushing the person in that direction. And then thumma al-gharam is when the attachment is such that it's hard to disconnect, because you're attached. There's the normal attachment where you can attach and disconnect, but when it reaches to the level of gharam, then you cannot detach. You will find it hard to detach. It's starting to stick. It's starting that the inclination reaches to a degree when it's connected. I can't. And just like we were saying about the phone, that it's locked on. It's holding there. You cannot get away. ثم الغرام وهو حب اللازم للقلب. And then you ثم الود. And then the next level is wood, which is صفو الخالص صفو المحبة وخالصها, which is the complete, the pure love. Nothing else is in the heart now. It's becoming pure love. It's filling the heart. It's beginning to fill the heart. And then beyond that, you have ishq. That is this on the 7th level. The wood. You have wood. You have wood, and then shaghaf. Shaghaf is when it reaches to the extremities of the heart. And after that, after shaghaf, then comes ishq. So at the 7th level is ishq. Ishq, which is an attachment that is mufrit. You remember ifrat and tafrit we spoke about earlier. So this is where it goes beyond the meaning of hub. Ishq is an attachment where it starts to connect in such a way that there's no release. It's completely locked on and stays there now. There's nothing else that is coming into the heart. Ishq attachment is so strong. And this is the one where he says that الَّذِي يُخَافُ عَلَى صَاحِبِهَا, the one which you start to worry about your friend. You know, your friend is got attached to somebody, and you're starting to worry about it. You know, all they think about and talk about is that person. That is when that is ishq. And then obviously above that you have other levels. You have the 8th one, which is a tame. Is to become captive, where you are like a captive, and everything that the beloved wants it's controlled by that. And then above that, you have ta'abbud, which is you become slave. You're slave الذي ملك المحبوب رقه as a slave. There's nothing else. And that's why the word slave here is part of the degrees of love in this science of the heart. To become abd is the ninth stage of love. To become, as I spoke about last week, about a beautiful meaning of the word abd, of the word slave. Here is that above ishq and above time, above that being captive, there is to be slave. So when you're attached, your heart is overflowing with love, and then you reach to a point where you're captive, and then you become slave of it. That's the ninth level of it. And of course, the final level is where you become khalil. And khalil is where the heart is so filled that there's no place for anything else, that there's no place for anyone else. You only have one love, one friend, one person who is in the heart and no one else. And that is khalil. So, and of course, this is in this science, but in various other science, there are other configurations of these degrees with other labels. Like Imam Al-Tha'alabi in his Fiqh al-Lugha, he added one in the beginning, which is al-hawa. You start with just general yearning, just taste you. I like something with that is linked to the desire. But it follows the same development, even though they might have different names, is that this is a process of love, a process of developing love, where love increases in intensity, and it reaches abd, it reaches slavery, and it's a beautiful thing to be in love to that degree. That's so. If you manifest true love, then you will be true abd. You will be a perfect servant. You will be a perfect slave for Allah. Of course, khalil is a different level above that. But that's the point here in at ishq. And he's saying that والبغض عبارة عن نفرة الطبع عن المؤلم. It's avoiding things that are disinclination, hatred, dislike of something that you're avoiding. فإذا قوي سمي مقتا. And if, and likewise, how you can traverse the degrees of love to reach to khalil, to khulla. In this one, he's saying that in bughd, which is dislike, which is things that is disinclination, you can move in the direction in the opposite direction, and then you reach to a point that is maqt, which is abomination, intense dislike. فَهَذَا أَصْلٌ فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ مَعْنَى الْحُبْ لَابُدَّ مِنْ مَعْرِفَةٍ. And so this is the basis for the true meaning of the word hub, that is necessary. Now the next thing is أصل الثاني. Is that أن الحب لما كان تابعا للإدراك والمعرفة, that when it is love is then it follows إدراك, it follows perceptions and knowledge. انقسم لا محالة بحسب انقسام المدركات والحواس. Then it will be divided according to, by necessity, it will be divided according to the perceptibles and the senses. فلكل حاسة إدراك لنوع من المدركات. For every sense, there is a perceptible of a particular kind for perception. There is a perception of perceptibles, things that you can perceive. ولكل واحد منها لذة في بعض المدركات. And for each one of these, there is a لذة, there is a joy in perceiving it, in the perceptible. وللطبع بسبب تلك اللذة ميل, and that creates that inclination towards it. فكانت محبوبات عند الطبع السليم. And he said that if your nature is sound, if it's not been corrupted, and we have a lot of corrupted natures in our time today, nowadays. But so he's saying he's giving this prerequisite that a person, if their natural disposition, if their fitra has not been corrupted, then فلذة العين في الإبصار. So the joy of the eye is in seeing, وإدراك المبصرات الجميلة, and seeing beautiful things and beautiful images and nice things. وَلَذَّةُ الْأُذُنِ, and the joy of the ears is in hearing beautiful tunes and harmonious sounds. ولذة الشم, and the joy of the sense of smell is in perfume, is in fragrance, is in nice fragrance that you have, beautiful fragrance, sweet fragrance. And ولذة الذوق في الطعام, and the joy of taste, of the sense of taste, is in food. ولذة اللمس في اللين والملمعونة, and the joy of touch is in the softness and smoothness. ولما كانت هذه المدركات بالحواس ملذة, كانت محبوبة, because they are joyful, these senses are these perceptibles that the senses are enjoyable, then they are beloved. أي كان للطبع السليم ميل إليها. So for a sound instinct, for a sound disposition, it will create a connection, an inclination to it. حتى قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حبب إلي من دنياكم ثلاث, that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said that I was made to love of your world three things: الطيب والنساء وجعل قرة عيني في الصلاة, that I was given, that I was made to love, Allah put this in his heart to love perfume and to love women and to love the prayer. And of course he said جعلت قرة عيني في الصلاة, that the greatest pleasure in this world was prayer. بل الشم, so, and he's saying that معلوم أنه لا حظ للعين والسمع فيه, and صلاة, it's very clear here that there's no portion for the eye or the hearing of joy in the salah. This is something deep inside. وجعلها أبلغ المحبوبات, and he has made it the highest form of beloved. The prayer is the highest form of beloved. So what we learn from this, ومعلوم أنه ليس تحظى بها الحواس الخمس, so it is not directly related to the senses. The joy that you get from salah is not directly related to the senses. بل حس سادس, but a sixth sense. ومظنته 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 القلب, and the place of it, the place of this sixth sense, is in the heart. لا يدركه إلا من كان له قلب, and it is only those who have a heart, whose heart is sound, will experience that. So then we have الأصل الثالث, أن الإنسان لا يخفى أنه يحب نفسه, that it is clear that human beings, that does not, it is no secret that people love themselves. ولا يخفى أنه قد يحب غيره لأجل نفسه, and it is also not hidden that people may love others in for themselves, in the interest of themselves. وهو يتصور أن يحب غيره لذاته لا لأجل نفسه, and it is also imaginable that a person may love someone else not for themselves, but for love them for themselves. وهذا مما قد يشكل على الضعفاء, and this is what may be difficult for the weak people. حتى يظنون أنه لا يتصور أن يحب الإنسان غيره لذاته ما لم يرجع منه حظ إلى المحب سوى إدراك ذاته. And people find it hard to understand that a person may love someone without an ulterior motive, just for loving them, for themselves, and it does not come back to them. The joy of loving them does not come back. والحق أن ذلك متصور وموجود. He said, and the truth is that such a love exists. So we have to, and he says, أن المحبوب الأول عند كل حي نفسه وذاته. The beloved, the first beloved of everyone is themselves. ومعنى حبه لنفسه أن في الطبع ميل إلى دوام وجوده, that ونفرة عن عدمه وهلاكه, that you have a inclination in the self towards your existence and towards the continuation of your existence, and a disinclination towards your non-existence and your destruction. لأن المحبوب بالطبع هو الملائم للمحب, because this is something that your that will keep your existence, and you will, and this is this is comforting to you to have such a feature. وأي شيء أتم ملائمة له من نفسه ودوام وجوده وأي شيء أعظم مضادة ومنافرة له من عدمه. So the thing that brings the greatest comfort is to know that you will continue to exist, and the thing that brings the greatest dislike is the thing that will bring you out of existence. So فكما أن دوام الوجود محبوب فكمال الوجود أيضا محبوب. So just as the continuity of your existence is beloved, so also is the perfection of your existence is beloved. لأن الناقص فاقد للكمال. That if there is some insufficiency, then to the extent of that insufficiency, it is non-existence. So that is a problem. And that is disliked. فإذا المحبوب الأول للإنسان ذاته. So the first lovable thing, naturally, that a person is inclined to love is themselves. ثم سلامة أعضائه. And then the security or the safety of his body, his arms, legs, his himself, then his wealth, ثم ماله وولده, and then his family and his friends and people around him, etc. So, فإذن, he's saying المحبوب الأول عند كل حي ذاته وكمال ذاته ودوام كله. So the first beloved is himself, his completeness of himself, his continuation of himself, and he dislikes the opposite to that. So this is the first of the reasons of love. And the second reason was سبب الثاني الإحسان. The second reason for love is إحسان, which is kindness. فإن الإنسان عبد الإحسان. That the human being is a slave to kindness. وقد جبلت القلوب على حب من أحسن إليها. And the hearts have been placed on a primordial disposition to love those who are kind to them. وَبُغْضِ مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْهِ. And to dislike those who are unkind to them. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم لا تجعل لفاجر عندي يدا فيحبه قلبي. That do not make a sinful person do be kind to me. Yadan, in other words, giving me, the person who extends his hand of help towards me, فَيُحِبُّهُ قَلْبِي. That a person, a sinful person, to help me, and then my heart will love him. So do not make that happen. So in this is the secret. وَأَشَارَ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ الْحُبَّ الْقَلْبِ لِلْمُحْسِنِ اِتِّرَارٌ لَا يُسْتَطَاعُ دَفْعُهُ. And in this, there is this indication that the love of the heart of the one who shows kindness to you is automatic, and it's compulsory. It's by necessity. It happens. لا يستطاع. It is impossible to repel it. وهو جبلة وفطرة لا سبيل إلى تغييرها. And it is instinctive. It's natural. It is the fitra. It is, and there is no way of changing this. وبهذا السبب قد يحب الإنسان الأجنبي الذي لا قرابة بينه وبينه ولا علاقة. And this is how a person may love a stranger. A person may love a stranger between whom there is no connection of family or nothing or no kind of connection, but you will end up loving them because of ihsan, because of kindness. You've done some, people do kindness to you. هذا إذا تحقق رجع إلى سبب الأول. But he's saying that if, when this is manifested, it returns to the first reason for love. What was the first reason of love? The first reason for love was loving yourself. So he's saying, فَإِنَّ الْمُحْسِنَ مَنْ أَمَدَّ بِالْمَالِ الْمَعْرُونَةِ وَسَائِرِ الْأَسْبَابِ الْمُوسِلَ إِلَى دَوَامِ الْوُجُودِ وَكَمَالِ الْوُجُودِ. That all of these things that comes back, that a person may help you with, is, it will lead to either your extent of the continuation of your existence or the perfection of your existence. That is how you, the kindness that you receive, pour into these two needs that you have. وحصول الحظوظ التي بها يتهيأ الوجود. There are things through which your existence is taken care of. إلا أن الفرق بينهما أن أعضاء الإنسان محبوبة لأن بها كمال الوجود وهي عين الكمال المطلوب. فأما المحسن فليس هو عين الكمال. But there's a difference in the type of love that you have for this person. You love yourself, your body and everything directly. There is no mediation. There's no reason other than you loving yourself. But when it comes to people who have done good for you, فليس هو عين الكمال ولكن يكون له سبب. There is, it is not the direct, it is not direct, but there is a reason. كالطبيب, and he gives an example to explain this. He said, it's like the doctor. كالطبيب الذي يكون سببا في دواب صحة الأعضاء. That the, like the doctor who is, becomes a means through which your body is preserved. Your body is preserved. ففرق بين حب الصحة وبين حب الطبيب الذي هو سبب الصحة. So there's a difference between the love of health and the love of the doctor through whom you are receiving your means of health. إذا الصحة مطلوبة لذاته, that health is something that is required of itself. وبين حب الطبيب الذي هو سبب الصحة, that and the doctor is, you are acquiring, you are loving him because you are acquiring health through him. وكذلك العلم, and so it is about, so it is in relation to knowledge. Your teacher is beloved to you, but the love of knowledge is the thing that is that takes precedent in yourself. والأستاذ المحبوب لكونه سبب العلم سبب العلم المحبوب. So the teacher is beloved because of your love for knowledge. وكذلك الطعام والشراب, and he said, so it is for food and drink, it is beloved. والدنانير محبوبة, and so are love of wealth. But الطعام محبوبة لذاته, that food is loved for itself. But wealth, but dinars, money, is loved لأنها وسيلة إلى الطعام, because it is a means to food. You don't eat for itself, you don't eat your money. فإذا يرجع الفرق إلى تفاوت الرتبة. So the difference is difference in degrees of relation to your own, to loving yourself. فكل واحد يرجع إلى محبة الإنسان نفسه. So they return to the love of a person of themselves. So that's number two. Number two was al-ihsan. Number three is the sabab, an yuhibba shay'a lidhatihi, and to love something for in itself. And la hadda yunalu minhu wara'a dhatihi, that there's nothing to be gained other than loving it for itself, for its own existence. بل تكون ذاته عين حظه, that just loving it for what it is. وهذا هو الحب الحقيقي البالغ الذي يوثق بدوامه. And this is the true love that that you find that you can have confidence in. وذلك كحب الجمال والحسن, and the example of this is loving beautiful things, that you love them for themselves because they are beautiful, they are pleasing. والحسن فإن كل جمال فهو محبوب, anything that is beautiful is beloved. عند المدرك, it's beloved to the perceiver. Beauty is beloved in the eye of the perceiver. أو مدرك الجمال, وذلك لعين الجمال, because of the beauty in it. لأن إدراك الجمال فيه عين اللذة, and the reason for this is that there is pleasure in the apprehending of beautiful things. So there is pleasure in that. ولذة وَاللَّذَّةُ مَحْبُوبَةٌ لِذَاتِهِ لَا لِغَيْرِهِ, this is not for anything, any ulterior reason. وَقَدْ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُعْجِبُهُ الْخَضْرَةُ وَالْمَاءَ الْجَارِي, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to love the greenery and running water, because that's a pleasing scene. When if you look at it, it brings comfort. It's enjoyable in itself. فَهَذِهِ الْأَسْبَابُ الْمُلَذَّةُ وكل لذيذ محبوب, and these are the reasons for love. He said, okay. Early, okay. فهذه أسباب. So these are the reasons for love. وكل لذيذ محبوب. And every pleasurable thing is beloved. وكل حسن وجمال فلا يخلو إدراكه إلا عن لذة. And anything that is beautiful in itself and please nice things, then it has a joy of its own to the perceiver. ولا أحد ينكر كون الجمال محبوبا بالطبع. And no one can deny this fact that the things, beautiful things, are beloved. فَإِنْ ثَبَتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى جَمِيلٌ. Now, think about this, that if it is confirmed here that Allah is beautiful, فَإِنْ ثَبَتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى جَمِيلٌ كَانَ لَا مَحَالَةَ مَحْبُوبًا. If it's confirmed in our heart that Allah is beautiful, then by necessity, we cannot but love Allah. عندما انكشف له جماله وجلاله. For the one in whose heart the beauty of Allah and the magnificence of Allah is opened, then they will not. Just as we are naturally attached to, or naturally inclined towards loving beautiful things, knowing that Allah is beautiful, by recognizing that in the heart, then كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ, that Allah is beautiful and he loves beauty. إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ وَيُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ, that Allah is beautiful and he loves beauty. Now, there's more about means of love, but we've run out of time to continue. In relation to the first one, I want you to I want to read that. How does this relate to the how does this relate to these five questions? The questions we looked at was, what is love? What do we love instinctively? How do we fall in love? What are the reasons for love? And on a scale of priority, who is more deserving of our love? The number five for the first one. The first one is that you love yourself, right? So you love yourself. You love the existence of yourself. You love the continuity of the existence of yourself. You love the completion, the completeness of yourself. Now he's saying that أَنَّ مَنْ أَحَبَّ غَيْرَ اللَّهِ in this. So in relation to this, how does it relate to our love for Allah? He's saying, وَأَنَّ مَنْ أَحَبَّ غَيْرَ اللَّهِ لَا مِنْ حَيْثُ نِسْبَتِهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فَذَلِكَ لِجَهْلِهِ وَقُصُورِهِ فِي مَعْرِفَةِ اللَّهِ. That all love will, love links up to the love of Allah. And anyone who loves any other thing without that link will only do so due to their ignorance of the love of Allah. And he says that حب الإنسان نفسه وبقاؤه وكماله ودوام وجوده وبغضه لهلاكه وعدمه. He's saying that هذا ولا يتصور ينفك عن هذا عنها وهذا يقتضي غاية المحبة لله تعالى. That this, a person who loves themselves and loves the continuity of the existence of themselves and loves their completeness of themselves, then that person must love by necessity Allah more than anything else, because فَإِنَّ مَنْ عَرَفَ نَفْسَهُ, the one who knows himself in truth, who knows their true self, وَمَنْ عَرَفَ رَبَّهُ, and the one who recognizes his Lord, عَرَفَ قَطْعًا, he will definitely know أَنَّهُ لَا وُجُودَ لَهُ مِنْ ذَاتِهِ, that he has no existence of himself from himself. He did not bring himself into existence. She did not bring herself into existence. We did not come into existence by ourselves. لَا وُجُودَ لَهُ لا وجود له من ذاته وإنما وجوده وجود ذاته ودوام وجوده وكمال وجوده من الله وبالله وإلى الله. That verily his existence and the continuity of his existence and the perfection of his existence is from Allah, من الله, and with Allah, بالله وإلى الله, and to Allah. This sentence has to be ingrained in our mind, that when we love ourselves, then we should know that our existence did not come by ourselves. That عرف قطعا أنه لا وجود له من ذاته وإنما وجوده وجود ذاته ودوام وجوده وكمال وجوده من الله وبالله وإلى الله. That is what we need to keep. That these sentences, that we were brought into existence, we did not submit an application to exist. Allah, through His mercy and through His compassion and through His wisdom, brought us into existence. It is with Allah that we will exist. So if you love yourself, then you must love Allah by a greater degree, because Allah is the one who brought you. And the continuity of your existence, billah, it is with Allah, and it is to Allah, ilallah, it is the return to Allah that will determine what kind of existence, what kind of kamal, what kind of completion you will have to your existence. Whether that return is a return into mercy or a return into anger. That is the question. So when it comes to loving things, when it comes to loving ourselves, that is the first hurdle that we, mental hurdle we need to clear in our minds, that we are connected. We're connected to our creator through this creation, and our love, He is more deserving of it than anyone else. That is where it starts. Okay, that much for today, inshallah. We will continue next week answering the other questions. Allah, 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 Allah. Let's pray. اللهم أنت ربنا لا إله إلا أنت خلقتنا ونحن عبادك ونحن على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا نعوذ بك من شر ما صنعنا ونبوء لك بذنوبنا فاغفر لنا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا ربي يا كريم اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب من يحبك وحب العمل الذي يقربنا إلى حبك يا ربي يا كريم اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك يا ربي يا كريم ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا يا ربي يا كريم اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم ولا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا همّا إلا فرجته ولا كربا إلا نفسته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته يا ربي يا كريم اللهم وفرج هم المهمومين ونفس كرب المكروبين واقض الدين عن المدينين واشفع جميع مرضى المسلمين واشفع جميع مرضى المسلمين يا ربي يا كريم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وصل اللهم على رسولنا ونبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين آمين آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيكم وجزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.